Hello and welcome to the Pit Inch Podcast, episode number 62, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. I am your host, Angelo, and I'm back this week, as always, with the asterisk himself.
What up, what up?
And in the second week...
Asterisk, no.
Hey, man, that's what your Twitter says. I'm not calling you the star anymore, because you just clearly aren't. I mean, you might be a rock star. I mean, I can hear you hitting that fucking pipe behind you. But the star of the show, new. But in week two of the Inmates Take Over the Asylum type deal that I'm doing, we have from Indiana, Mr. Daniel Clay Hall, a member of the posse. What's up, Dan?
Nothing much. Happy to have taken over your seat for tonight, Angelo.
Sure, by all means, man. I will sit here and get fucking drunk.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. Sorry, Dan. I a little choked up there. Glad to have you on, man.
A little choked up. Can't, you're in a chamber, man. Can't do it on the show.
I raised my Guinness to you, my friend.
Guinness. Okay, that's not a bad beer. Okay, all right. I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, I love my Guinness and I love my Bailey's.
I'm gonna say that I'm sorry, dude. I think Guinness is shit. I like me some stouts, but I think Guinness is some shit. People like it. It's a love it or hate it thing. I've just never been a fan of Guinness.
Yeah. The trick with Guinness is drink it warm and you drink it fast.
I don't want to. That's true.
Yep. You drink it warm, you drink it fast, you get hammered quick, and it's not bad.
Don't get hammered quick, but yeah,
you're not drinking them quick enough. Trust me.
So I got a new.
I took a while to get me drunk.
Okay, fair enough. You are. Yeah, you're 6'8".
Yeah, I was gonna say you're like the size of Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I'm 6'8", 400 pounds.
Yeah, that's a big show.
The big show. I got a new hero this week in Kyle Bogims. I'm probably saying that wrong. Bogims?
Yeah.
Is that how you say that? Kyle Bogims is my new hero.
I know. We'll get to that in a moment. So Magic Podcast, let's talk about Magic instead of Ryan not being able to clear his chamber.
Sorry, dude.
GP Cincinnati, folks.
They
were jamming a little bit of standard. And as what has become what has become the standard kind of played out to be the standard. It's not mono black anymore, so I guess.
I gotta tug my nuts real quick because I called it last week. I said this week, Esper's where you wanted to be.
Yeah, it was. You was absolutely right. So the way this top eight broke down, we had Jared Butcher versus Jacob Maynard, and Butcher won that 2-1. We have Brad Nelson versus Brad Ford Grant. Nelson wins 2-1. We have Jeffrey Pica, okay, versus Kyle Bogamus. Kyle Bogamus wins 2-0. Clyde Martin versus Austin Tramper. Clyde Martin wins 2-0. Clyde Martin. The name sounds familiar, but nah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, now that I went through this top eight real fast, Danny, who's your boy on here?
Oh, Alexander Hain. He is actually he plays at Comic Book World in Florence, Kentucky, one of the closer shops to where I live, 40 miles away. A little annoying. But he is a pretty smart guy. You should also know him because he also won Grand Prix Columbus 2 years ago.
Okay, what was his name again?
With Alexander Hain.
Bring the Shane Hain from Canada.
No. Is there another?
He's not from Canada.
I thought you said one of the top eight people here was from your store.
Yeah, you're right. He's not from. Sorry, not Alexander Hain. I must be looking at the wrong one.
Apparently, brother.
Cincinnati,
man. Cincinnati.
Sorry, Jacob Maynard. I'm looking at, I pulled up the top eight list and it's like, oh no, I pulled up the next top eight after that.
Yeah. Hain, but speaking of Hain, I did want to bring him up, so I'm kind of glad you did. He actually is kicking ass right now. Like he has 3 GP wins this year. And at this point, because they have the 5 rule, you can only use 5 GP finishes for your pro points. He has to like top 16 or better for those last 2 spots.
Which I'm pretty sure he did this year, this time.
Yeah, I believe he finished 9th. Dude, he's fucking on a roll. I mean, 3 GP wins in a year, that ties the record with like Kai, LSV. I mean, he's in some names here.
Yeah, a lot of big names in this top 16, actually. A lot of big names in this tournament. I think they were just there's like a threshold, isn't there, where the top 16 can make qualify for the Pro Tour?
Yes.
I want to say this was like right, yeah, like pretty close to it, but not, just didn't get there.
This was close, but not there. It would needed to, I'm pretty sure it needed to be 1800 to be able to, have the top 16 get invites. I know the top 8 got invites because Jacob got his invite.
Yeah,
second Pro Tour.
The top 8 definitely qualified here, but yeah, some big names like
Brad Nelson, who beats Jared Betcher 2-0.
Yep.
And Kyle Boggums, who won 2-0 over Clyde Martin. Now, Kyle Boggums is no newcomer to the scene either. He's been around for a while. And Kyle wins this in a sweep. The first game of the finals against Brad was, and it's hard to say this, but it was the funnest Esper Control versus Esper Control match I think you'll ever watch. I
actually just watched this right before coming on, and it was very interesting. It was that turn one thought season's like, oh wow, Brad kept a really bad hand, and then he just drew right out of it.
Yeah, and it was Brad had the advantage, and then two turns later, Kyle had the advantage, and then a turn later, Brad makes a play. Like when Brad Nelson ripped the one fucking Doomblade in his deck, so he could go ahead and get rid of an Aether Ring, because he casted the Tension Sphere. He was like, Detention Sphere of the Aether Ring. Kyle, of course, uses, you know, his one blue mana that's left of bounce him, and then he's like, Doomblade. And it's like, holy shit, he got rid of that. So now you're thinking, okay, Brad's up on Elspeth count and everything else. Like, he's got this game locked up. And then before you know it, Kyle takes it back with his own Elspeth and destroying all Brad's creatures. I mean, literally went Supreme Verdict into an Elspeth on the same turn. And then he's like, okay, now I'm winning the race. And it just went back and forth like that until finally, Boggums got to the point where he basically could have activated a second. Yes, both of them had Elspeth token or Elspeth emblems. Kyle could have activated a second one, and that's when Brad scooped. What a game.
Yep. It was actually a really good game to watch.
I didn't watch.
If you really want to understand some if you wanted to see a good control and control mirror matchup, is actually one of the better ones I've watched
this
season. Yeah, I
like Kyle's list. When we get into it, it's different.
Yeah, it's close to a lot of the other ones, however.
Well, his sideboard
is completely different. Yeah, his sideboard is more made for the mirror match.
Very interesting.
So, let's see here. We had Jared Betcher, and he was on, like, black-white that we've been talking about forever. The mono-black splashing the white. Pika was on mono-blue, not worth talking about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hey.
Splash-white.
He punted big time, man. In the semifinals, he punted so bad and just handed Brad Nelson a 2-0 victory over him.
That wasn't in the semis. That was Betcher in the semis.
Yeah, Betcher and Nelson in the semis.
Well, I'm on Pika already, dude.
Oh, yeah, I was going back a bit for the folks at home. No, just letting them know that, like, yeah, dude, Betcher punted that match big time, and I don't care if Brad Nelson and Betcher are buddy-buddy or whatever, but you're a fucking pro, Brad Nelson. Act like it. You got lucky as shit.
Both pros, and they're friends, and it was busting each
other. Oh, my God, dude, you got lucky.
Brad Nelson is going, I mean, for as much as you hate him.
He punted. He played around something that completely wasn't there. He punted when he had Nelson's deck list for starters, and he could have swung for lethal that turn, and he didn't. He wanted to play it out an extra turn. Nelson had one out the following turn. He had to draw a Supreme Verdict somehow. He got the Supreme Verdict. It was a misplay by the opponent, and then from there on out, whenever he drew a spell, it was like he would act like the fucking, like, start clapping and, like, bouncing his legs up and down and being all grandiose. Like, dude, like, you're a fucking professional. Like, you should act like it. I don't care if that's your homie or not. Like, that's some, like, you got lucky as shit. Like, that's all that is to it. And so many people, like, I was reading the hashtag, like, the GP Cincy. Dude, like this, like, why do people kiss people's ass so much in this community? Like, it's so fucking sick. Like, people were calling it a comeback. It is not a comeback if your opponent punts and you top deck. Like, that is not a comeback. That's called fucking luck. Like,
here's the punt that he's talking about.
Get off his dick. Like, get off his dick. He's a good player. He's a good player. I get it. But if your opponent punts and then you top deck the one out you have, dude, you're a fucking lucky son of a bitch. Like, it's not a comeback. That's all there is to it. Like, I don't know, like,
people. Before I give my rebuttal to all this, nonsense that you're spewing, I will explain to everybody what the punt was. He had down a pack rat. He had two tokens, I believe, on the board. And he decided to play a Blood Baron of Viscopa rather than create another pack rat because Brad basically has nothing that can stop that card short of Supreme Verdict. And Brad Nelson rips the Supreme Verdict off the top. He wipes out all the pack rats.
Why play the Blood Baron when you could have attacked three pack rats, you could have ate another pack rat, and you could have, and the pack rat attack would have been lethal.
Right, Ryan.
It was not a mistake, Ryan.
I think it was.
This way.
It was a mistake.
Okay, I want to hear why you think it's a mistake.
If I was playing against
the- Because it's a mistake, okay, alright, I play mono black, everyone knows this, I don't splash the white or whatever, but I could tell you that any turn that you can possibly take off the game against a control deck, you have to take it with that deck. Sure.
So,
and he had no outs to it. Brad Nelson had no outs to that attack. There was nothing he could attack for. There was no card he could have played. There was no Celestial Flare. There was nothing to play around. Now I get if he had a card or two to play around and he's like, I gotta worry about attacking because he might have a trick or something. But when that's out of the equation, why would you give a guy that's playing Jace Architect a thought and can, if he lands that the next turn, which he did, he played three of them that game. You gotta shave off that turn. Like, you have to go for lethal when you have that opportunity. Like,
okay, so when he had the pack rat out, was he able to kill him that turn if he made the pack rat?
Yes.
I don't think he could. I think he'd be just short.
No, it was not. Pack lethal damage. His pack rats, I believe, would have been 4/4s, and it would have dealt lethal damage, I promise.
But he had a blocker.
No. It was lethal on board no matter how you sliced it. It was a punt.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't a punt. I think it was a punt just because I'm sitting there and I'm using one card that isn't as relevant to the game, and I'm sitting there holding the Blood Baron in case he rips it and gets rid of my pack.
He had a swamp in hand.
Exactly. That's where the punt was.
He had a swamp. He didn't. That's the other thing. The Blood Baron wasn't.
Oh, wow. If he had a swamp to discard, he shouldn't have. You're right. He should have just held the Blood Baron and discarded the swamp.
Discard the swamp. Make a pack right.
He had a swamp in hand. He could have discarded the swamp. It was a big mistake. And then from there on out, like, Brad Nelson acts like king shit. It's like, dude, like, show some class, man. Like, I just.
Okay,
I don't like dude for my reason.
I think you're hating a little bit too much on Brad here, but that's just me.
It's more of why I don't like the guy. Like,
yeah, he did. What you got to take into mind, Dan, is he really does not like Brad. But I'm gonna be real honest with you here.
Like,
Ryan. Let me say what I got to say, man. I'm gonna be real honest with you here. If you're sitting across from me and you punt like that, I don't care if cameras are on me. I am going to bust your balls to no end. And we couldn't hear the conversation going back and forth between the two. But they're friends. They've known each other from SCG for a long time, man. So, I mean, if you beat your boy, you're just going to bust his balls because that's what you're going to do.
Here's the thing, though. I honestly don't care because I don't like either one of them. Like,
I know, because the other one wears a fucking Pokemon.
Yeah, the other one's
a dude. I've been wearing the same Pittsburgh Pirates hat for the last year and shit, man. And I ain't ever taking that motherfucker off until they miss the playoffs again.
Listen, you're a grown-ass man. A baseball hat is acceptable. Jared Betcher is like he's like the total symbol of like the stereotypical what outsiders think of like this like dirty neckbeard magic player. Like, he never looks like dude looks like sloppy as fuck on a regular, and he's worn the same goddamn Pokemon hat to every event for like the last 2 years. And it's like, dude, you're in your 20s. Like, grow the fuck up. Like, why are you wearing
a Pokemon? I swear to God, Ryan, I'm wearing a Sailor Moon hat the whole fucking time in Philly. Just to fuck with you.
Dude, I have a cousin who's about 4 inches shorter than me, okay? And let me tell you, that man is ripped. And he makes sure every Saturday morning to watch Pokemon.
I watch Pokemon. I'm watching season one on Netflix right now, dude.
He's watching the current stuff. He's watching.
Megan is laying on the couch right now playing Pokemon on the Game Boy Pocket.
Dude, not a game. The games are legit, bro.
What is that? Pokemon Gold?
Wow.
Pokemon Gold right now. But I'm not gonna go out in fucking public like and wear some like dirty ass Pokemon hat I've been wearing for like 2 years and like, dude, he's just like, I don't know, he just epitomizes like the neckbeard. Like I don't know, man. I got issues with any grown ass dude that tries to take himself seriously and wears a Pokemon hat in public. Like, dude, you're not fucking 10.
I swear to God, I'm getting me a fucking Sailor Moon hat and I'm gonna wear that motherfucker to every GP I go to for the next 10 years. Just to fuck with
I'll
you.
I'll do that, but mine will be the 4-star Dragon Ball.
Okay, so let's move on.
Sorry, man. I didn't want to come off as like a dick or mean or something, but
you're going to do that.
Oh, anyway. No, man. Don't worry about it.
I'm just saying, dude, I would clown on that so bad. I would clown on you so hard if you sat across from me in that shit. I will clown on you.
And you know what? I wouldn't care.
My response will be, oh, that's fine. I'll take what Aerosmith said to me at the GP. The reason why he got the Golden Girl playmat for the two Taigas was he wanted to get the Golden Girl playmat, be a big intimidating guy with tattoos all the way down his arm, and then play Justin Bieber tokens just to psych you out.
That's pretty sweet. The Golden Girl playmat, that is my holy grail. I know we talked about that precast. I'm on it. I will have one in my hands.
So Jacob Menard, he came with Nia Hexproof, which I believe this is the first top 8 showing we've seen of this Nia Hexproof deck. So
yes, I'm so happy. Can I go over this deck? Because this is the same exact list I'm running.
Well, I was gonna let Dan do that because this is his buddy, man.
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
No. If you're playing the deck, I'm not.
Dan,
you're the one who knows
that
now.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up and cover the deck.
All right. I got it. So we have standard lands, 1 forest, 4 sacred foundries, 4 stomping grounds, 4 temple gardens. Then you have 3 temples of abandon, 4 temples of plenty, and 2 temples of triumph. That's the land package. Gotta make sure you gotta have those actual mountains. Then you have creatures which are 2 Fiendslayer Paladins, which have virtual hexproof, can't be targeted black spells or the red spell removals.
Yep.
That's a fine creature. So then you got 4 Glade Coverage Scouts, your basic 1/1 with hexproof.
Yep.
It is your Boggles. Then you have 4 Voice of Resurgence and 4 Witchstalkers.
Voice of Resurgence and Witchstalker, I gotta say, very good this weekend. I bet you Witchstalker got more 1/1 counters on him this weekend than ever.
Fuck, with all the Esper flying around, yeah.
From what I watched, he did get one really large Witchstalker because his opponent kept on trying to devour flesh him at the end of his turn.
Uh-huh.
And he would use, in his main board, which he has 2 Selesnya Charms.
Yep. Ash Knight.
To make the Knight,
yep,
sack for it. So
yep.
Also for his spells are 4 Boros Charms, because you gotta survive them Supreme Verdicts.
Yep.
Four Chains of the Rocks. Honestly, 1 mana removal spell. Gotta
pretty
be good.
It's pretty good.
Four Ethereal Armors, what's made hexproof. 4 Madcap Skills.
Yep.
2 Celestia Charms and 4 Unflinching Courages. And then also he has for 2 Ajani Call of the Pride, 4 Planeswalkers.
Pretty sweet. Yep, the same exact list I'm running right now. It's been pretty standard as far as the hexproof build goes. I mean, the sideboard, you want to cover the sideboard real quick?
Yep, I was about to go into that. 1 Fiendslayer Paladin, 2 Gift of Orzhova, 2 Mending Touch. Yes, I said Mending Touch. I think it's 1 cost.
Dude, I know we ragged on
that card. 1 cost, regenerated creature.
Yep, we ragged on that card on the show, me and Angelo have, but dude, I know I talked shit about this deck last week. I had a bad time at F&M with it, but Mending Touch is actually, when you want it, dude, it's really, really good against,
it's good against everything. I mean,
it's really good against control.
I mean, in the main matchup you have a problem with Hexproof, because those are the ones that have the sweepers, it has the things that you need to be able to keep your one big creature alive for.
Yep.
Okay? He also has 3 Mizzium Orders, 1 Revoke Existence.
English, man, English!
No habla inglés! Two Celestia Charms and 4 Skylashers.
Love it. Now, I love the additional charms.
Yeah, the additional charms are great. I know he has the Skylashers because there's a couple of us at the store who play Mono Blue, and that's what he has them there for.
Yeah, and you know what? It's just better in this deck than Mistcutter Hydra because you play it for 2 and then you get enchantment and you start pumping it up with enchantments and whatnot. It's really good. I don't regret playing it over Mistcutter Hydra in this deck.
That, and you have to look at the lands. You only have running 22 lands. You want to get a larger Mistcutter Hydra. You want to have that in like a 24, 25 land deck because you're going to be able to hold it off and make a huge Mistcutter.
Yeah, it's much better out of green red monsters. It's much, much better out of green red monsters when you can, drop down for, much better value. So Skylasher is perfectly at home here. I like this deck. Like Angelo said the other week, he thinks that I just need to, give it more of a, play it more and get some more experience with it. And that's what I've been doing. So,
That's how you get good at a deck. I mean, as much as everybody were saying for the past couple weeks, Mono Blue was going to die at when Born of the Gods came out, I never got rid of it. It's just been what I've been playing.
Yeah, I was wrong there. I'll admit that.
Mono Blue is still top 8ing and winning events, man. That's the other thing to keep in mind. So, yeah, I mean, but
it was like...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was hoping that everybody would be playing hate because then by Cincinnati, all the hate would be out and Mono Blue would actually be playable. Like, very playable.
And to be fair, Pika came in, Jeff Pika was running Mono Blue, our second seed in the top 8, and he just happened to run.
He was Mono Blue Splash White now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, he has Detention Spheres and he has a Pharah.
Which is kind of unnecessary, I think.
And he has 2 Jace's Memory Depth in the sideboard, which makes him great for versus control.
But what you gotta remember too is he ran into the winner playing Esper Control in the first round, in the quarterfinals, and this deck that's a bad matchup.
It's the worst matchup.
Yeah.
I have the hardest time playing against that.
That's why I think you see, I'll go over Jeffrey's list real quick. Pretty standard lands, the 4 Mutavolts of note, 4 Cloudfin Raptors, I fucking hate it. 1 Afara, God of the Polis, I like the 1 or 2 of those there. Frostburn Weird, Judge's Familiar, Masterways, Nightvale Spectre, Thassa, Tidebinder Mage, all the basics. 2 Tidebinders, 4 Detention Sphere, or 2 Biden of Thassa, 4 Detention Sphere, 1 Rapid Hybridization. But out of his board, which is interesting, is the 2 Pacifisms and 2 Jace Memory Adept. I think both very good this weekend, so.
Yep.
Yeah, the Glare Heresy. So it was pretty good.
So pretty standard though, top 8 from what we've been seeing aside from, Esper, like we called it last week. We said Esper was where control wanted to be and that showed up in a big way, I think so.
Yeah. So we had, Austin Tramper. He was on Mono Black Splash White. Brad Nelson, he was sitting on the Esper Control. Kyle Boggums was on Esper Control, and this is what we need to talk about here. We're going to skip the entire list, and we're going to go straight to the sideboard. We had 2 Archangel of Thune, 2 Blood Baron of Viscopa, a Duress, 2 Negate, 4 Night Veil Spectre, a Pithing Needle, a Revoke Existence, a Thought Seize, and an Ultimate Price. Now, going back to Brad Nelson's sideboard, let's listen to this. 1 Blind Obedience, 3 Dark Betrayal, 2 Dispel, 2 Doomblade, 2 Gainsay, a Negate, 2 Revoke Existence, 2 Thought Seize. There is a major difference there. And they are called Night Veil Spectre, yep, Blood Baron Spectre of Viscopa, and Archangel of Thune. But Night Veil Spectre in the mirror match is devastating.
It's nasty.
We also have Bradford Grant on Esper Control. His list is very, 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 very similar, except in his sideboard he has a Faded Retribution.
He also has a Notion Thief in the sideboard.
Right. That's actually been showing up out
a couple times, dude. Notion Thief was sweet. It really was, dude. He blew people out once or twice on camera with that. And Angelo, Faded Retribution, man, is really good against monsters. Jund monsters, green red monsters. It's good against that deck.
Fair enough. Top 5 cards of the tournament. Number 5, Witchstalker. 4, Mogus Marauder. 3, Stormbreath Dragon. 2, Detention Sphere. 1, Thought Seize. Anything surprise you? Nope, didn't think so.
Oops. Mogus Marauder. Actually,
I don't know. I've been kind of touting the, Mono Black Aggro, and this is what makes that deck work.
And Mono Black Aggro showed up in the top 8, Clyde Martin, so.
Yeah. So, it's a good deck. It's kind of wonky because you can kill yourself.
that you can.
Yeah, this does happen from time to time, with the Painseers, but. Yeah.
Fucking love this just deck. Like, I love this
deck. It's just like Bob back in old Ravnica standard. What were they running? Oh, Greater Gargadon.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take 10.
I'll take 10, darn. So, GP Vienna. We're playing.
Oh, the one I like.
Ooh, yes. Yes, that's what I like to hear. Limited.
Oh, yes.
I rag on this format because it does suck dick.
No, it doesn't. You just don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, you're the only person on...
No, I am not. I am the only person in the podcast that you choose to listen to that says this, okay? The fact is that, all right, when you listen to people who are like-minded to you, you're always going to get the exact same thing you're thinking.
When you catch little things like the commentators even, like I quoted Randy Bueller the other week, like, this format is just Voltron up a dude. Like,
oh,
I mean, these people like... Dude, when Hall of Famers...
See, can I ask you an honest favor, honestly? Play it before you rag on it? I mean, all you're doing is listening to other people and you're not making...
No, I enjoyed what I was about to say was, if you let me finish...
You rag on my favorite format all the time.
As much as I rag on this format, I couldn't figure out for the life of me for some fucking reason they'd split the coverage, and so the GP for Cincinnati was on GG's Live, and Vienna was on Twitch, and
that's Pro Tour channel.
So I was so I was stuck watching this for the most part, and I actually first of all, the names in this tournament, this top eight is fucking huge. And again, man, the European coverage made it exciting. Like, and there was some interesting archetypes popped up over the weekend that we haven't really seen much at center stage, like Dazani drafting the black green in the top eight was
sick. Black green is just sick.
Yeah, that's a good archetype.
But it's a new one. It's a newer one, is it not?
No, not really.
No, it hasn't
been top eighting, and it's not
in Theros when it was just Theros. If you were to crack, say, a Reaper of the Wilds, you would go into that.
Gods. And it hasn't shown up. It showed up in a big way this weekend, and blue black has again continued to make its comeback in this limited format. I don't know. You want to go over this top eight, Angelo? This is a sweet top eight. Yes.
Andreas Lesch versus Enno Akaraz. Enno Akaraz wins 2-1. Mads Olsson versus Alexis Telerov. Telerov wins 2-0. Jeremy Dazani, number one player in the world, versus Denis Rajad.
Another awesome player.
Other top player, yeah. Not number one, but he's a top player. Jeremy Dazani wins 2-1. Robert Jurkovic versus Alexei Antonenko.
Two more great players.
And Jurkovic wins 2-1. So Dazani beats Jurkovic 2-1. Anali Alcaraz beats Telerov 2-0. This is, you have to understand, folks, that these names are not in my native tongue.
And, here we got Russian, French, and I think Czech so far.
Yeah, something like that. So we have Alcaraz beating Dazani 2-0. And actually, the finals was kind of anticlimactic. I won't lie.
I didn't get to watch any of that. And the reason, Ryan, that they have GG's Live is because GG's Live is the American based Magic group.
It's Rashad Miller's group, and he's buddy-buddy with everyone over at WotC, so it's kind of his company,
It's his company, but, I mean,
it was ridiculous. The Magic coverage in general this weekend sucked as far as these high level events go overall. They cut in the middle of the top eight of the middle of the fucking top eight of GP Cleveland.
There's never been a GP in Cleveland. Just a fact.
GP Cincy. My bad. In the middle of the top eight, they switch from being on GG's Live to going to the Magic Pro Tour channel on Twitch.
That's because the Vienna one was over.
It just cut out in the middle. It ended. It just went to a blank screen. Like,
well, that's shitty. They should have gave you some sort of warning. But the thing was, they was trying to get it back over to the main server.
It was just gone, dude. It was just gone. Next thing I know, it's coverage offline, and it's like, seriously, in the middle of the fucking match.
Yeah, they should have gave you some warning. I'll give you that. I personally think, now, mind you, I wasn't watching Standard over on GG's Live. I was watching this. I thought that the coverage was great because I do like the European coverage of GPs far better than the American coverage.
And, I like Marin Lebert too, who's been doing some great coverage recently for the Euro GPs. He's not only is he a great player, but he's just a fucking phenomenal, he's a phenomenal, guy to have in the booth. Like, I think he's one of the best commentators in the game, actually. And,
well, in the European, but they also have the man, you know what I mean? Like, they got the man, Rich Hagon.
They have Rich Hagon, who's organizing everything. They've also got, they also get good pro commentators to actually talk things out. It's kind of like when we actually get LSB in this booth, where we actually get to see the plays, or somebody like Cedric Phillip and, what's his name, when they were doing during GP Richmond.
Yeah,
they actually talk the plays out.
Like, Marin Lebert did a segment where he took like 32 super interesting cards from Born of the Gods and put them in this bracket. And then he had like Simon, I don't know, Gertzwig,
yeah,
like fucking great player, and then Hall of Famer Frank Karsten, like, argue over the cards, like, and go through this like bracket to get like to the winner or whatever. And it was like, dude, I learned a ton about listening to them talk about two card interactions. They brought up a great point. This is a limited format where you can get, as shitty as it is and as much shit as people talk about it, there's a lot of things like, Simon, whatever his name, brought up a great point that this format doesn't get credit for, is there is some subtle, like, 2-3 card interactions and synergies that are hard to see. Like, yep, things like Breaching Hippocamp and a couple other cards, like Retraction Elix, I believe, that... And if you can see those subtle synergies in this limited format, like, you can get an edge up, and it is... You know, it is, there is a little more to it than it does.
You thought?
Not only what I thought, but what it gets a lot of credit for. I still think it is a shit format. I mean.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay.
But, you know.
Okay. Are you saying that?
Words are
coming
out, Ralph.
Ryan, are you saying that limited is a shit format, or that just Theros limited is a shit format?
This Born of the Gods, Theros, sealed and draft, I think is garbage.
Okay.
I think draft is a little bit harsh, but I think sealed has gotten a lot better than what it was with Theros sealed.
It has. And Angelo said that recently.
Yeah. Theros sealed was, and like, you know me, I'll tout sealed to no end, but Theros sealed was despicable. I hated it. Born of the Gods, the three packs you get from Born of the Gods has changed the sealed format enough that I actually enjoy the sealed format now more than the draft.
Yeah, but I mean,
it gave you removal. That's the thing.
Yeah, the draft has gotten to the point where it's literally like quick deck,
it's
control
nuts.
Deck. I mean, it's like the same, I hate to say it, it's like the same six decks every draft I get in.
Well, not to cut you off, the guy that won it, mind you, Alcaraz, the commentators were like, this is maybe the... They were like saying this is like the best draft deck that's ever been like seen at a big level in this, you know, in this tournament.
It is a sick draft deck. The Celestial Archon in it.
It's absolutely insane. A Spear of Heliod, Glimpse of the Sun God. Glimpse of the Sun God went overlooked, when the set came out. That's proven to be a good one. He's got...
At the end of the turn, sorry, Glimpse of the Sun God. There's a nice little interaction with that and your heroic creature because it does target. You do it at the end of your turn, you hit your heroic creatures as well because you're going to get your counters and stuff.
Yep. It's really good. This deck is just... I was like, there's no way. And he did. He crushed everybody. And it was, the finals, as Angelo said, were kind of boring. So
yeah, kind of anti-traumatic. Telerov, he took the blue-white archetype, and he, you know, just like Ryan said, he maxed it out. I mean, there's maybe one card in the whole deck that I would, you know, wonder about running, and that's the Tessin Battle Priest.
Yeah, I agree. I almost would rather have something.
I would have Murder in there myself, and he has that in the sideboard, but that's me. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But. Success in Battle Priest is just another, it's a large body, it's a large butt on the ground is what it is. It really does shore up against those faster matchups.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only change I would make, but, you know, obviously he's right because he won, and I'm not gonna lie. Telerov, he was running, your red-white deck, but not really as heroic as you would think it would be. It's more of a, red deck with some white splashed into it, big stuff. I mean, like, he's got two Cyclops of One-Eyed Pass, which is almost unplayable. He does have a Purphoros, which is not almost unplayable. That is actually playable. And he has-
I actually had, got to play with that in Sealed this weekend, during the Super Series.
Sweet. We'll, talk about that a little bit later.
Sorry.
Actually won smashing with Purphoros on camera. It was pretty nutty.
Yeah, we had Max Olson. He was running the, green-black archetype, which is basically you use your black mainly for removal, although he didn't get as much as he needed. And then your green's your big creatures. We have, blue-black by Antoneko, and to me, this is the best, archetype in the format, even though I've never seen to draft it.
I mean, Hayden proved that the other weekend in Montreal when he got past that second pick, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix. And it's just like, well, time to go that.
Yeah, well, Phoenix, I mean, when I look at Limited, like, I don't even try to think of Mythics. Because, I mean, they are going to change games, just in general. But, I mean, even if you don't get the Phoenix, like, there are cards within Blue-Black that just say, hey, I'm the best one, and this is why. Like, Nimbus Naiad is still one of the top two or three bestow creatures, short of, you know, the Mythics. You have Shipwreck Singer, which is, to me, the best uncommon out of the two sets. You have Siren of the Silent Song, which is just ridiculous. Like, yeah, discard that. Yeah, discard that. Yeah, discard that. I mean, it's just, ugh. It's so hard to play against. We had Green Red by Dennis Rashid. I'm sorry, did you have one more thing you want to say?
Dennis Rashid.
No, it's hard.
Okay, Dennis Rashid, he was in Green Red. And we had, Andres Lesh, and he was running Black Red, which is not terrible. I mean, I've had some luck with it recently. And he has the removal, and that's really what you need to make that deck go. We have Robert Jurkovic, and he is on your blue-green, which, you know, we've been talking about that since the beginning of Theros, so you should know how good that is. And, Dazani, he went with the, green-black splashing one planes. So what was he splashing of planes for? Well, a hopeful Eidolon is a good reason to splash of planes.
Well, that you've also can have the activated ability off those Ornos River Trawlers.
Yes.
To get your enchantment creatures back.
To get your hopeful Eidolon back.
Yep.
So that was that. We had a top five cards that rolled like this, and I actually have a big problem with one of them, and I will explain later. We have Nyx Born Shield made at number five. We have Sudden Storm at four. We have Fall of the Hammer at three. We have Prophet of Crufix at two, and we have Phalanx Leader at one. When it was just Theros, Prophet of Crufix was the scariest card in the format to me. I just never seemed to beat him. I think I beat them one time when they got out of Prophet against me the whole time I played Theros.
It was so awesome in the top eight.
Oh, it's ridiculous. However, I think in this set, since Born of the Gods has been released, it's not nearly as good because of Asphyxiate.
Asphyxiate, and there's the point, it's like, it's only got three toughness.
That's the
it gets killed by almost every removal.
No, but you know what? But here's the thing. You're thinking of it in a constructed manner, I'm thinking of it in a limited manner. But listen to what I'm saying. If I'm playing sealed, this is a small set that I'm cracking three packs of. Chances of me having Asphyxiate in there is pretty damn good. Also, with the draft, I am cracking one pack of Born of the Gods. However, I'm also seeing seven more. And Asphyxiate is gonna go probably fourth, fifth pick in most cases. Okay?
In Jurkovic's deck, Prophet of Crufix was awesome in the top eight, especially when he's got things like Sedge Scorpion to flash in.
Dude, when it's on point, it's great. I'm not going to lie. I just said, I don't think it's as good as it used to be because of cards like Asphyxiate. The fact that there just is more removal now from Born of the Gods. Like, it just seems to fall off. You know, so that's that. SCG in Los Angeles. They was playing Standard on Saturday and Legacy on Sunday because they do that every week. And I really fucking feel like they need to change that up because it is getting a little boring to me.
Well, can I just go over the top eight real quick? First and second place were Esper Control. Shout out Ricky Sitter.
Go over the bracket like we always do?
I mean, if you feel it's necessary.
We always do. I mean, why should we change our format?
Yeah, okay.
Go for it, man. You want to go over the bracket? Go over.
No, I don't have the bracket pulled up.
Okay, Matthew Ferrick versus Jason, Polish name. And Polish name wins 2-1. We had Roy Coe versus
Jason Janisiewicz.
Okay. Yeah. Versus Vidinato Wajita.
Vidinato Wajaya, I think. Okay. He's a big name, actually.
Yeah, Wajaya wins 2-0. Ricky Sidhar beats Nathan Hale 2-0. Brian Zunter versus Brian Allen, and Zunter wins 2-0, Sitter 2-0, Polish name 2-0, Polish name 2-1, and the guy does not look Polish at all.
I don't know what that means. Edit. I don't know what that means. But Janisiewicz, yeah, dude, this was a well-played top eight. I got to see some of it. Esper Control Mir was, so, you either love it or hate it. I don't know.
That was not nearly as good as the, GP one.
No, because Brad Nelson lost it.
So many Esper Control Mirrors.
Sweeter. But the top eight was pretty much as expected. The two Esper Controls at first and second, Green Red Monsters at third, Red White Burn at fourth, Mono Blue at fifth. We already said that's still a deck. Ooh, excuse me, still a deck. I've been drinking, I just heard.
No shit!
Black White Devotion.
Sure, you were drinking.
And seventh and eighth are two Junt Monsters lists, and really, the Red White Burn in fourth is similar to last week's. They cut down on creatures, both the 10th place Red White Burn and fourth place list, they cut down on main deck creatures, but Esper Control was really well positioned against these, you know, creature heavy decks this week. So,
yeah, it was where it needed to be this week. I'll agree with that.
It's still, I think, a toss up with the, Black Devotion or Black White, mid range, but I don't know. Ricky Sitter is a phenomenal player, so no surprise there. And Jason's pretty good himself. So,
Oh my God.
Go to the first and second place. So.
Okay. I see why I thought that Mr. Polish name did not look Polish, because for some reason they had the winner of the Legacy Open's picture on the standard side. And I'm like, wow, that dude does not look Polish. And this will make itself very apparent in a second. Yuri Savesel versus Jonathan Job. Job wins 2-1. Jacob Corey versus Kelvin Young. I'm sorry, man. There was a pirate called Kevin Young. Jacob Corey wins 2-1. Fimis Pan versus Isaac Sears, and Pan, however he pronounces it, 2-0. Kasari versus Boland. Kasari wins 2-0. Fimis Pan wins 2-1 over Kasari. Corey wins 2-1 over Job, and Fimis Pan wins 2-0.
Oh man, I'm actually got a hard on for this week's top eight.
Dude, this Legacy top eight, although I did not get to watch any of it,
I got a hard on
that I missed it.
Dude, I got a hard on for the top 16, actually. This is what we're talking about. Someone go over this third place list, please, and explain it to me, because I don't fucking understand.
Second place, we had, oh man, he's gonna try, new guy wants to steal my, with Legacy, man. So we
have Control. Oh, I like Legacy.
I
think it's a great format.
Blue Red Delver in second, and then we had Mono Green 12 Post. Okay, you can correct me if I'm wrong. How about that?
All right.
Okay, all right. So we have Dark Depths in here, all right? So, you know, obviously we have Thespian Stage as well.
Wait, go over the whole list.
I ain't going over the list. I'm starting with the lands. Damn it, white boy, be quiet.
This is why you have to read through, you gotta read the lands first in 12 Post.
Yes, that's where the deck runs. We have three snow-covered forests. We have a Bajuka Bog. We have a Cavern of Souls. We have four Cloud Posts.
Wait, why are those snow-covered forests and not just forests?
Because of style points.
Okay, where was that? Glimmer Post. We have four Vesuva. Those are your 12 posts.
So yeah. Four Cloud Posts, four Glimmer Posts, and four
Vesuva. Yes, you name with those every time. Okay. Which creates an obscene amount of mana, because what Cloud Post does is it taps for one mana of into your mana pool for each Lotus in play. So Glimmer Post is a Lotus, Cloud Post is a Lotus, and any Vesuvas you play will be Lotus.
Locust, right?
Yeah, it is Locust, my bad. Two Windswept Heath, so you can go get those snow-covered forest. One Wooded Woodland, so you can go get that snow-covered forest. An Eye of Ugin and a Caracas. Okay, so creatures. We have Oracle of Moldiah, because playing extra lands in this deck is a good thing. Yes. We have four Primeval Titans.
Oh, that is fucking sick. And Legacy, are you kidding me?
You can do that like
turn two. No, we are not.
You can hard cast that like turn two, bro. You have an Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn, which,
yes,
folks, this gets hard cast. We stop. Have a, stop. Why?
You mean a deck that can hard cast Emrakul and isn't a joke?
Okay, so.
Like turn five.
No, so, yeah. So the main card on this is Cloud Post. Have you read it yet, Angela?
Yes, Angela,
but, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Have you, okay? Because that's what all the posts are. They're all Locust lands. So it makes it so your Locust lands, your, Cloud Post taps for equal to the amount of locusts you have.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you have 12 of them.
Seems good.
So.
Yes.
Yep, it's great.
And he's also got a couple other Eldrazi, I
yes,
see.
He is running the whole package. He has Kozilek, Butcher the Truth. Again, we're hard casting this. We have an Udomar. We have an Aguirre. Again, we're hard casting this. Oh, we have two Dryad Arbors for shits and giggles.
Are those the three Eldrazi? Is there only three?
Those are the three big.
There's only three. Yes, that is your, Charlie's Angels there.
Oh man.
Old age, man. They did not age well at all. So we have four expedition map. We have an Oblivion Stone. We have three Pithing Needle, four Sensi's Divining Thought, because you want to set shit up. We have Crop Rotation. Why? Because why not? We have three Moments Peace, which is a flashback, fog, basically.
Hello?
We have four Green Sun Zenith. That gets you a Dryad Arbor on turn one, so you can start doing stuff. We have Into the North, so you can go get those snow-covered forests. And yeah. We have All is Dust, one of those. Okay, you beginning to understand this deck yet, Ryan?
Yeah, this is pretty fucking sick, dude. I actually love the sideboard, too.
Yes, he has two Elephant Grass.
That is a sick touch. He's
seen so many different decks. We have four Line of Sanctity.
Yeah, good. I mean, that's really good.
Oh, Elephant Grass against any of the mono black decks or any of the decks that where the black is the main creature threshold of the deck, it just says no. A, like, reanimator? No. You can fucking reanimate all the Gristlebrands you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
Now, the one that got me was this Sacred Ground. That's the first time I've ever seen it in a sideboard.
Yeah, Sacred Ground. Whenever a spell or ability an opponent control puts a land into your graveyard from play, you return that land to play.
Wait a second now. How does this work with Rest in Peace out?
Well, you obviously ain't playing both of them together. It's sideboard, man. This is your anti,
He has two Rest in Peace in the board too. I'm just wondering.
Rest in Peace is mainly for, your reanimator type matchups and, other
reanimator, dredge.
Yeah, from the graveyard. Where Sacred Ground is more like your wasteland prevention plan.
Yep, okay.
Okay, we have Gaddic Teague because you don't want people playing like spells that cost mana. We have two Creeping Corrosion because, Mud hates that. We have a Glacial Chasm, a Savannah, and one Tabernacle at Pendril Vale in his side. This deck is great. Fourth place, we have Food Chain.
Yeah, what the fuck is this? First of all, awesome name. Any deck called Food Chain, I want to look at.
I feel you on that. Basically.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I can.
Sorry, I just dropped out there for a second.
Oh yeah, I heard. So, it runs Shardless Agent, so you just, it would go, oh, it's Shardless Bug. No, not really, but kinda. I mean, there is black, there is blue, there is green. But it's not.
You talking about the Food Chain deck right now?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it. This is the first time I've ever seen this deck, so.
Okay.
I was actually a little, I wanted to see this.
Okay, so we have the four Shardless Agent. This is your, 2/2 Cascade spell for three. What can it go get? Immediately start with Wall of Blossoms, Deathrite Shaman. Okay?
This is true.
I mean, these are both good. Wall of, Blossoms, when it's basically a Wall of Omens. Comes into play, it's an 0/4, you draw a card. Yep. Deathrite Shaman is just good. Okay, so other creatures in the deck is Mist Hollow Griffin.
Yeah, that's the unplayable Abyssin Restored mythic that everybody thought was not playable.
Well, it's a 3/4 with flag, which is eh, and you may cast it from exile, so Path to Exile does not work on this card. Noble Hierarch, good. Tidespout Tyrant. Emrakul, Aeon's Torn.
Two of those in Tidespout Tyrant, man, 8 mana, for real?
Dude, that thing wins games. That thing will win you games.
Yeah.
Because then you just start casting just small spells, and it's like,
oh. It just seems like a lot of mana. How does this deck cast these?
Let me continue. We have two Vidillion Clicks and two Venture Shaper Savant. So, how do you get these huge spout tyrants out? By casting Food Chain.
You got an Emrakul too.
Right.
He did say that.
I did say that.
Okay.
Come on, Stoner, pay attention. Food Chain. What Food Chain does is you remove a creature card from the game. Mist Hollow Griffin's really good with this card. You add X mana of any color to your mana pool, where X is the removed creature's converted mana cost plus one. That mana may be spent to play creature spells.
Wow, that's an infinite combo there.
Yes, sir, it is.
Explain how this is an infinite combo.
Okay, so you can play the Mist Hollow Griffin from exile, and it only costs four mana. When you sack it to the food chain, it makes five mana.
Okay,
because you get four plus one. So then you recast your Mist Hollow Griffin.
Sack it again.
You do that 15 times until you play an Emrakul. Hard cast.
That's funny as shit. That seems like so much more work than just like sneak attack, show and tell, Emrakul.
It is a lot more work, but it's not as...
It's funny.
People just aren't having the hate for it.
Right.
Like they do.
You can hate out the Emrakul combo, but you're not going to hate out the rest of the deck because it's powerful on its own.
Yep.
We have a Sylvan Library.
Spells too, besides Food Chain.
Right. We also have a Sylvan Library. We have four Brainstorm. We have four Force of Will, one Misdirection, and three Manipulate Fate. Manipulate Fate is another way to get your Mist Hollow Griffin into the, cause it lets you draw a card. You search your library for three cards. You remove them from the game. Then you get to shuffle your library. And then you draw a card.
So basically the Oracle on this is search your library for three cards and exile them.
Well, it's, turn two, Manipulate Fate. Okay. Put your Mist Hollow Griffins in there. Turn three, you play your Food Chain. Or actually you can do this slightly earlier because of like Deathrite Shaman type, you know, shenanigans. And turn four, you can go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set up your Emrakul.
And I mean, your Misdirects and your Force of Wills, you don't have to pitch any of your other important blue cards too. You can just pitch Mist Hollow Griffins for them.
It's pretty sweet. I might go back and watch this top 8 coverage of this Legacy because there's some sweet, sweet decks. And I like his sideboard too because it's
pretty straightforward. Yeah, two Graft Diggers Cage, two Null Rods, two Revokers, Phyrexian Revoker, four Obstinate Baloth and Misdirection and Force of Merge. Yeah, it's very straightforward. Food Chain, cool deck, cool card. It's funny though. We have Belcher and Fist. That's worth talking about. We have Sneak and Show in six. Holy shit, we have Manalus Dredge in the top 8.
Wait, I gotta say too, Submerge is really, really good.
Oh yeah.
I think that's a sweet card against some of these decks that like to cheat in dudes.
Oh yeah, Submerge is great against those decks. And we have Blue, White, Red, Delver finishing off our top 8. We had another Belcher actually in the top 16 and it's, you know, I gotta say, I've heard people say that, oh, Legacy seems to be boring. You know what? Just look at a top 8 list. See how many different decks are in it. It's always 6 to 8 different decks.
Dude, this top 8 was sick, man. This looks fun, dude. And
oh, yeah.
I do want to – I feel like – I know there's a Manalus Dredge in the top 8. I don't know if you want to go over it, but I feel like Ryan Tice would appreciate
Christ.
That. But
hey, Daniel, do you want to go over Manalus Dredge? Because this is just one of those decks that
Oh, you want me to talk about the Solitaire deck that I got to watch go off at the Grand Prix at the end of the day outside of it? Sure.
Exactly.
So we have four Balustrade Spies. We have a Flare of the Hatebound. Ugh, cannot speak this today. four Golgari Grave Trolls, four Golgari Thugs, one Greater Moss Dog. There's your dredgers. Your dredge, this is the card you use for dredge.
Okay.
four Ickards, because they're your main attack horse. Four Narcomoeba, four Nether Shadows, because again, just if, again, it lets you be able to put it back into play when it comes in, when it comes in from the, graveyard.
Yep.
This is new.
Dude, this next one is funny. Oh man.
Oh god, I'm gonna have to read that. Oh. I'm going to mispronounce this like a son of a gun.
It's four Phantasmagorians.
Phantasmagorians.
Yes. That is
discard the cards, return it to your hand. See, that lets you be able to, what that does is enable your dredgers. Then you got four shamble shells. Again, another dredger, four stinkweed imps, and four street wraiths. You have two Mishra Baubles, four Bridge from Belows, four Cabal Therapies, four Dredge Returns, and four Gataxian Probes.
I love
that
this
is your
deck.
Main board.
I just wanted to go over it because
how can you love this deck, man?
You can't love this deck.
I just like graveyard-based strategies. You know this about me, so.
So do I, but I mean, this is one that I have a hard time getting behind because, I mean, this is eggs in black. You don't play with your opponents at all.
And it's broken as shit. I get it.
I mean, it's very easy to beat. That's why I'm shocked that it made a top eight. Like, a little bit of graveyard hate, and this deck just folds.
Of course, but it's got a very good game one matchup, and your post sideboard, I mean, you do have... This sideboard answers a lot of, basically is a bunch of answers to other people's answers.
Yeah, your sideboard is four Ashen Riders, one Sarah's Avatar, four Mindbreak Traps, one Noxious Revival, a Sickening Shoal, and four Surgical Extractions.
Yeah, Ryan, when this deck was a little bigger, none of these things mattered in the sideboard because people was running Leyline of the Void. And you just mauled until you hit your Leyline, and then you ended the game. It was like, I'll mold a one because I'll get a ley line, and then he literally has, like, one answer to beat me. And I don't even think they have it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the deck. I like graveyard-based strategies. It's fun, and I like seeing it pop up in the top eight from that, now and again, and it has been lately. So I'm sure it'll get hated out next week, and then it'll disappear for a bit again. But it's been popping up lately, actually, so... I'm as surprised as you weren't top eighted.
Yeah, I like seeing the whole, I like the fact that in Legacy decks, they disappear and they come back. They disappear and they come back. They disappear.
Kind of like Maverick in 34th.
Yeah.
I was happy to see Goblins in 12th and Jund actually top 16 and Belcher with three decks in the top, two decks in the top 16. This was a different top eight, and yeah, Legacy is, it's not a stale format. Is anyone who says Legacy is a stale format just doesn't follow the coverage of it, because it's really not. I don't think the same deck.
It was a combo heavy kit.
Yeah.
I don't think the same deck has won 3 weeks in a row.
In a row, never.
In a really, really, really long time, dude. Yeah, it's been a super long time. I think Esper Stoneblade did it a while back, but it hasn't. It's just not one of those isn't allowed in this format. So.
No, it's not, because you could just adapt every week. I'm not trying to call out some of them other podcasts out there, but Legacy's not dead.
Yeah.
And it's not dying. Give up on that. People who play Legacy are always going to play it. I busted his balls on the show about it, so I feel like I'm okay saying that. So Star City
Saints. I'm back.
I know, guys, I'm just going to fill everybody in. Daniel's, internet connection is literally run by gnomes. And what they do is they take his information and they literally run it to my computer and then they got to run back. And every once in a while he stops for a drink break and we lose him.
No, I get hungry. I'll eat one of them. I need to stop doing that.
Yeah, stop eating them. Big news. Star City Games is actually going to hold an event in another country, and it's not Canada.
No, they're not holding a game in another continent. That's even huge.
Yes, they're going to Japan. What actually is happening is Big Matt...
Oh, it's not Scandinavia? If it's not Scandinavia, I don't give a shit.
No, but I mean, it is news that they are leaving the country, which is something they've never done before. Now, what's happening is Big Magic, which is a large... tournament organizer over there in Japan, they have SCG is sponsoring them to run an event for them, and basically it is an SCG open. It's just SCG is not actually sending their people to go do it. The fact that they're open to doing this leads to the idea that maybe like Mana Deprived can run tournaments in Canada and get backed by Star City Games, and it can be an official open. And, in other countries as well, we can start seeing some of these.
This is just SCG getting its claws at other companies.
Amen. Not everybody.
Yeah, but yes, it is SCG getting its claws in other places, but it does help grow the game. Being able to have that constant thing for us in the United States has really helped us be able to every week just have constantly
I mean,
hey, let's go.
Without SCG coverage, we wouldn't have shit to talk about most weeks, but
look at it.
I like the idea. I think it'll be cool. I would love to see some of their guys go and do commentary from Japan. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you have to look at it like this, Ryan. I mean, yes, I mean, the timing isn't perfect, but before SCG really started doing these weekly tournaments, Japan was kind of the spot. Like, those were the best players in the world. And then Channel Fireball came along, and they kind of took it away from them. But I do believe that what's kept it in the United States, as far as, you know, best tournament play in the world, is the fact that there is a big tournament here held every week through SCG. That doesn't mean the best.
No, I think also having the constant tournament action is what can also draw some people in. If you look at what the StarCraft and the League of Legends scenes do, they are constantly holding tournaments for people to come and get into and look at and try to participate.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, I mean,
if you give, you know, if you build a baseball field, kids are going to come play. That's basically, I mean, and they're
putting a field out there. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, they're putting a field out there. So,
if you jack it, you will come.
Oh, I see what you did there, Ryan. I'm literally slapping my knee right now. What the fuck? So a little bit of MTGO news. One of the most popular things MTGO does, every year is their April Fool's Day draft, or their April Fool's Day sealed. They always hold some crazy fucking tournament, and you don't know what you're getting into typically. This year, they've announced what it's going to be. There are an 8 booster sealed event. 8. Here's the deal. You're going to get a pack from all 8, formats that they're calling them, and they're all goofy formats. One is heavy metal. Heavy metal consists of sets such as, you're either going to get an Urza's Saga, an Urza's Legacy, a Mirrodin, a Darksteel, a Fifth Dawn, a Scars of Mirrodin, a Mirrodin Besieger, or a New Phyrexia. You're also going to get something from the Weatherlight Saga. The Weatherlight Saga includes Weatherlight Invasion, Plane Shift, Apocalypse, Marcadian Masks, Tempest, Stronghold, and Exodus. You're also going to get a Wooburg. What is Wooburg? Wooburg is basically your Ravnica's, plus Shadowmourne, Eventide. You're going to get Core Crazy. It's a bunch of core sets. You're going to get a tribal one, which is Lorwyn, Morningtide, Onslaught, Legion, Scourge, Innistrad, Dark Ascent,
tribal Avacyn. Sets.
Right. Short of Shadowmoor, Eventide. We have the Eric Lauer experience. These are sets basically designed by Eric Lauer. Magic 2010, Magic 2011, Mirrodin, Besiege, Innistrad, Return to Ravnica, Theros, Modern Masters, Modern Masters.
Yeah, I had that to Modern Masters twice.
Yes, there's two opportunities in that one. So your odds of ripping a Modern Masters pack is actually not bad. We have Cycling Time, which has all the cycling cards in it. Onslaught, Legion, Scourge, Urza's Legacies, Urza's Saga, Shards of Alara, Conflux, and Alara Reborn, and Sliver Farm. 2014. Oh yes, Tempest, Stronghold, Exodus, Time Spiral, Planar Chaos, Future Sight. This is going to be fun.
this is one of those times I actually get all Magic Online and play.
Yeah, it sounds fucking insane, dude. It does sound like a ton of fun.
Every year they do these. Every year they fill up the backs. Every year I'm going to do one next week before we record, guaranteed. Like, I have to do one of these. I love these things. Every year I jump into one, and I don't see this year being any different.
Sweet. So next Tuesday is the second.
I do have to say something, Angelo.
What's up?
Last week on your podcast, you said that Wizards had another April Fool's joke, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, some bad book.
Some bad book. Now, I love my Vorthos. And the Vorthos just looks not bad.
You're telling me the end of that was not terrible?
Oh, the end of it was horrible.
Dude,
the rest of
I don't care.
Not bad.
But this is just it. Like, have you ever seen Contact? Contact was a great movie until the last 15 minutes when you find out the aliens were actually her fucking dad, which makes the rest of the movie null and void.
That sounds like any M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, but it's actually bad in that. Some of the early M. Night Shyamalan wasn't bad. The endings were actually...
Wait, you're telling me Signs? You're telling me the ending to Signs was an
I see dead people. Now, when you get into his later movies where he was just going for the twist, those were...
No, Signs was the dude in the alien costume at the end in the living room flailing around. Like, what the fuck was that shit?
I don't know if I've ever exactly seen that one, but...
Oh,
that's
my
the Mel
God.
Gibson one, right?
Yeah, that's the Mel Gibson one.
But yeah, get into the April Fool's Day draft if you're on MTGO or Sealed. It is a blast. I do it every year. Knock yourself out.
Sweet.
And, next Tuesday is April 1st, Ryan. Grab a calendar.
I'm pretty sure next Tuesday, you know what? I'm going to look right now. I got to look this up.
Do it.
Next Tuesday, yes, is Tuesday, not the second.
Next Tuesday is the first.
Ha ha ha. Who is the man? Just say it, Ryan. Just say it.
You're the man, Angelo.
All hail the king.
So much, your cock is so
all
much.
Hail the Pidim's king.
Yes.
Okay, more Magic Online news. In April, they're doing something they do once in a while, but they never do it for a whole month. So if you like playing Modern, folks, now is the on MTGO. If you like playing Modern, now is the time to get in to try and get some cards cheap. Why? Because they're doing flashback drafts every week in April. We are going to have Lorwyn Morningtide at the end of the month. Actually, we're going to have Shadowmoor Eventide at the end of the month. It's picking up on the last day of April. We're going to have Lorwyn.
Now, this is interesting. They have Odyssey Block there at the beginning of the month. And those fetches are not,
those are not
Modern legal.
They are Legacy, which, you know, Legacy Masters is coming. But
yeah, but I'm really hoping they'll reprint the Odyssey fetch lands. But that's just me.
Yeah.
Let's not get into that talk.
Worms, man. Like, you know, yeah. So we're going to have Shards of Alara from April 16th to the 23rd. We're going to have Lorwyn Morningtide from the 23rd to the 30th. We're going to have Shadowmoor April 30th to May 7th. And Dan said, we have Odyssey April 2nd through the 9th. But here's the big one. Do you want a chance to win a $100 card? Well, go play a Time Spiral flashback draft. Because there is a chance. Is it a great chance?
Or that Tarmogoyf.
That Tarmogoyf is in there between April 9th and 16th. Get in there. Get on these. There's also lots of other cards that are Modern played, like Teferi, Venser. There's a lot of good cards. Okay, so like this may be your cheapest way to actually get some of these cards. Plus, I can honestly say that some of these formats are really fun. Like Time Spiral Draft is a fucking blast.
Shards of Alara.
I hate Shards of Alara Draft. I did not like it.
That was me.
Yeah,
that was me. I like the multicolored formats.
Yeah, I just felt it was a little wonky. Time Spiral I thought was great to draft. Odyssey is kind of fun, but it's not really great. You just kind of go for a tribe and run with it. Same kind of with Lorwyn. However, Lorwyn, again, you don't talk about money cards. We have cards like Bitter Blossom. Ryan, you're not allowed to say nothing.
He is not, and he shall not.
I know that word.
Yes. We have cards such as Mutavault in here. We have, for us Dorn lovers, we have Thoughtseize in there. We have all the fairy cards. We have Murmuring Boss, which is a card that I feel is fucking drastically underplayed. It's one land that taps for green, black, and white. Motherfuckers in the scene play. Okay, never mind. I'm gonna calm down. There's a
because Thorin is in play, which is again something that's real sad.
Any rock deck can use that card. I just feel like it's just drastically underplayed. We also have your Shadowmoor Eventide thing. Hey, there are some cards in there you're gonna want to, especially you EDH players. Shadowmoor Eventide for Commander is amazing.
Well, there's also the filter lands for the Modern players too.
There's also the filters for those, and there's also the Knight Pro Black Pro White, names escaping me at the moment.
Oh, you're talking about the one that pumps
Steel Moon
pumps itself.
Steel
Moon Cavalier. Yep.
So I mean, get on those. It's going to be a fun month of drafting on MTGO. And hey, at the same time, what season in it? Why, it's Force of Will season. Play fun drafts. Chance to get into the mocks for a Force of Will. Seems like a good idea.
Get your 15 points, get your Force of Will, get your money, get your tickets back.
Funny cards. I mean, it's all good fun. Pit Imps news. I'm going to release now the official art contest rules. Here's the deal. I will accept up to 3 submissions from any one person. You can get these submissions to me through Twitter or send them to pitimppodcast@gmail.com. On the Facebook group, they will get lost. There's just too much going on the Facebook group on any given day for me to actually be able to go back and find all of them later.
Yeah, dude. Our group, by the way.
It explodes.
We're getting busy as shit, and thank you guys so much for that.
Yeah. So back to the art rolls. get your submissions to me by the 2nd of June.
Wait. There's another rule, too. John Kelso.
He only has one more submission, so, yeah.
He's excluded from the tournament.
He's not excluded.
Why is he excluded?
His fist for drawings ain't gonna win.
He's a friend of the cast. That's true. Of the cast.
I know, I'll put him in there, but, you know, he only has one more submission, and his fist for drawings are not winning right now.
No, I love the drawing we got today, by the way, from him of the ass crack, and it said, like, hit him on each... Dude, he needs to have, like, that guy should have, like, a skyline of
Pittsburgh. So did you see the one that got submitted on the Facebook group today?
Yes, I was actually just about to bring that up. Everyone just keeps interrupting me while I'm trying to do this.
Sorry.
That was okay. Good drawing.
Again, folks, listen. The submissions have to come to me either by Twitter, or you can get them to me at pitimpspodcast@gmail.com. They have to be submitted by the 2nd of June. Which gives you, you know, artists, take your time, do a good job, please. Also, I've already gotten a few, you know, okay ones, and I got one that's pretty damn good, from Michael Hardy.
Wait, don't spoil it. I'm trying to pull it up now.
I mean, the thing is nuts. It's not officially been submitted yet because, again, I'm not taking them off the Facebook group because it'll just end up getting lost. But his rough draft is pretty fucking nasty. Like, you guys are going to have to step up your game if you want to win this thing. So, please get them in. Tell your friends. If you know somebody who just knows how to draw, by all means, let them know why you're going to win $100. If I pick yours as the winner, and this is a caveat that I cannot stress enough, if we use it as our logo, then you're going to win $100. Depending on the quality that I got from Mr. Hardy here, if you beat that, more than likely I'm going to end up using it as a logo because it's right up there with roundabouts where I'm looking to see. I just think it's smooth.
Pretty sweet. Hey, thank you very much, Michael Hardy. And Michael Hardy's a newcomer to the group, and I think he joined recently. And I'll let it slide that he's wearing a Jets jersey in his Facebook profile picture. I'll let that slide, bro. Y'all just signed Vic, so I gotta hate, because I hate Michael Vick, but... You know, whatever, man. I'll let the Jets jersey slide, but thank you so much for taking the time to do that for us and for joining the group. We love you, man.
Yep. So, like we did last week with, Mr. Tice, we took a little bit of, well, Ryan took time last week. I just let him kind of go off on his own. But,
it's your turn.
Hey, before we get into that. So I'm going to give this a little tidbit of information because I saw this post about the Anthony,
Wachroba.
I cannot pronounce that guy's last name. Anyways, he talked about the, PTQ in Niagara Falls this Saturday. When I was at the GP, the guy who's running it is Aerosmith. They're expecting 400 people at this PTQ.
That's a big PTQ.
So I'm just going to tell you now, it's going to be a huge PTQ.
Yes, it is. see here.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's cool. So here's your chance, Dan, to, you know, get the people out there to get to know you.
All right.
So where exactly are you from again?
Okay, so I'm from Milan, Indiana. And
there's an island in Indiana?
Milan.
Oh, okay. Milan. My bad, dude. I'm seeing
all right. You want to get correct pronunciation? It's Milan. It's spelled Milan, and everybody pronounces it Milan. And we want to know what we have right next to us? Versailles. But everybody says Versailles.
I was actually just going to say, like, I actually grew up in a place called North Versailles. But it's spelled Psy. Like, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But
yeah,
we Americanize and bastardize things because it's ours once we take it.
America.
America. America. Yeah. Where are you from? I'm from America. America. So that's now I know that, you know, your shop that you play in, or, you know, it's local to you. Like, there's some people there that others have probably heard of. Squirrel Master plays with you guys. I know that.
Yep.
Hey, who's the Squirrel Master?
Travis Hall.
Yeah. He formerly of Earth Notions and all over Twitter.
Yeah, that man is all over everything.
Dan, do you get to a lot of tournaments? You really do seem to have like a knowledge of the format because, like, you know, I know you pop up on our Facebook group quite often with, you know, insightful information. You're not just blabbing.
No. I would like to play more than what I can because I live so far away. I live 40 miles from my store that I go
Holy
to.
Holy shit.
That's dedication, folks.
So do you play mostly online then?
With my gnomes? No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So bitter that I don't allow it.
What I do is I read a lot of articles. I listen to a lot of podcasts and I take in as much information as I can from other sources. I will gladly just go through forums and look through and see what information I want to play with. When I get the chance to go to the big GPs, I take in all the information I can to be able to just process it and boil it down and just try to concentrate and get as much out of it as I can.
Okay, when you go to big GPs. Now, when I say, you know, do you play a lot, what I mean is compared to your average player, because your average player, believe it or not, only makes it to about one GP a year. I get to about four
or two.
Okay, I get to about four, and I'm considered playing a lot. You know what I mean?
See, I might not even go to this year because I'm kind of in the, as much as I think dude's an ass, I'm in the Michael Jacob camp of there's just not any EV really going to a GP.
Yes, there is. Philadelphia
there is so much
EV.
Okay, my
Philadelphia has Philadelphia is awesome because of the posse, and that's the reason I'm considering it.
Okay, so when I look at EV, for me, one of the things I look at is I love the social part of it. I like being able to get in there and meet people and just talk with people. I mean, I did the Super Sunday Sealed this weekend. You want to know who was sitting right next to me? Sam Black.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I got to have some conversations with Sam Black. During the sealed thing, I ran into KYT and I got to talk his ear off. And then as the tournament is going on, KYT comes back and starts talking to me.
Yeah, the Super Sunday series is actually where me and Harry Corvese kind of made our bond. And you know, God knows he's been on this show fuck all too many times at this point. Three.
It's the social aspect that I like so much about Magic. It's the fact that I live out in the middle of a freaking cornfield and I can't get too many people to come out this way. So I have to travel to be able to go do things.
You know what you could do?
And what town is the game, is the shop you play in? Florence, Kentucky. Okay.
You know what you could do? You can take some of that 100 acres of land you have corn growing on and build a little shop in the corner of it. And then, you know, you could have a shop.
This is true. I mean, if you actually looked at it from Florence, about a year and a half ago, if you picked up the Gatherer and looked from Cincinnati to Indianapolis, there was no comic shops in between there within a year and a half.
Oh my God.
Now within the past year, there's been one that's opened up in that's actually closer, but I'm trying not to, I like to go over there every once in a while and, play, but I don't go over there often because they are not competitive.
Yeah.
And I don't want to crush the spirits. When I go over there, I don't go over there to play. I go over there to help rules advise.
Okay. Typically, when I do go to a store at this point, I just go for limited. It's mainly because, like, I used to play a lot of standard. I know I say that, you know, standard's not my favorite format, and there's reasons behind that. But, I mean, when you sit down at a limited table with most people, they just automatically think, well, you know, he's not net decking. And with new stores, that's a problem for some reason. And, you know, so you know that everyone kind of is at the same footing when they first open their packs, regardless of, you know, whether you realize the person across from you has done a draft 100 times. When you sit down at that table, you feel, depending on what you open, you're even with anybody in the room, regardless of whether that's true or not. And I feel like I can get away with that a little easier than, you know, me constructing a deck and walking into a new store, because I'm going to spike it if I construct a deck.
I mean, there's also from the guys in Florence, there's actually some guys who are not as well known, but they do very well in their limited scene. We have a guy named Rick Carr. That guy great. I mean, the man has mostly taught me a lot about the most I know about Limited. The guy, if he's got that knowledge that lets him be able to pick apart Limited formats. I mean, he practices it too. He plays a lot of Magic Online, but the man will pick apart a Limited format pretty well.
That's cool.
So that's why I mostly go over there to rules advice, be able to help people out. I want to be able to grow that store. That's my main thing. That's why one of the reasons why, as of right now, I've been seeking out L2s to be able to work out trying to become a judge.
Okay, you still need to take your level one test.
No, yeah. I do rules advising. I don't do any I haven't done any actual L1 testing yet.
Mm, okay. Have you done any of the practices?
Oh yeah, I've done a ton of the practices.
How do you do on those?
About 85 to 95.
Okay, so you're almost ready for your level one exam, I would say. I wonder.
Almost ready, not completely. No, you are not allowed to try to convince Frank to give me an L1 test. That I'll say. No, I gotta give that to the guy who's been giving me the most help in trying to get me out and meet the other judges who are in the area.
Okay, that's cool. I understand that completely. I from what you had said, I had kind of jumped to the assumption that there wasn't enough judges around there for you to really get the test.
Oh, there isn't. You want to know how many judges are actually within the area over here? None. There's not one at any of the Magic stores. The closest one is an L1, and he's about 45 miles away from my house.
Balls.
Yeah. There is an L2 who lives in Cincinnati. But he's the only L2 who lives in Cincinnati. Honestly, he should set up a time and say, here, let's do a class. And I'm betting he'll have at least 15 people sign up for a class.
Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, I mean, I do know a lot of people in the judge community, although I myself just never, no desire to ever become a judge. I've never had it. Like for a very brief period, I thought about it and then decided, you know what? I like playing the game too much. And like,
oh, that's true.
I've known Frank for so long, and I see, I go to all these GPs and, all these big tournaments, and Frank was always standing around. It's like, dude, why aren't you playing? He's like, well, I got a judge. And I'm like, yeah, I couldn't give that up. Even for the promos.
I totally understand that.
And that's the only reason I won't.
Hey, you know what the promo, is right now? Show and tell.
Yeah.
A spoiler show and tell with a sick art.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. The promos are cool, but I mean, to me, the promo, even the value of the promo and everything else is just, I mean, look, here's the thing. Being a judge has nothing to do with expected value whatsoever. But
no, it doesn't. It's for the love of your community.
Yeah, it's completely about love.
Look at it. Yeah. I mean, they don't. A lot of them don't get travel expenses paid for when they go to the GPs. I'm pretty damn sure Clues doesn't, and he does a ton of GPs. I mean, he's going to be in Philadelphia. He was here at in Cincinnati for their GP, and I don't think they normally get airfare paid even.
No, they typically don't get airfare. If you're a level two, you typically will get hotel accommodations. This is my understanding. L1s get nothing except promos. But I don't know, like to me, when I was looking into it, I'm just like, you know what? I enjoy playing too much. And as much as I do like this community, I'll find another way to,
you found another way.
I did. I did find another way to help the community out in my own way, but Yeah, I just couldn't do the judge thing. Because when you really break it down, those guys aren't making minimum wage.
No, they aren't.
Yeah.
And they do so much. They do so much. They have to put up with these Magic players sometimes who are real jerks. I got my head bit off at GP at the Cincinnati because I was standing over talking with Clues, and some guy was like, is everybody here, for a check-in? And it's like, no, I'm just sitting here talking with the judge. And he turned around and goes, you need to get away from here.
Oh my.
And I'm like, what?
I have a commission in Philly though. I mean,
you're shorter than me.
You should have just fucking big showed him. Just fucking, you know what you should have did, dude? Honest to God, you should have Donkey Konged his ass.
Yeah, don't talk to me like I ain't a grown ass man. That'll
dude,
be a laugh.
You should have just straight up Donkey Konged his ass. You know what that is, right?
Yes, I know what Donkey Kong in an ass and what that is.
Okay, just ball your fist and just fucking club him on top of the head. And just, that'll learn him.
That's one thing you'll learn about me. I'm a big guy, but man, I'm not a violent person.
No, I get that, but you know what? Sometimes people deserve it.
This is true. And it actually get me to that point. You have to really piss me off. Yeah. It's like talking bad about Limited.
Uh-oh. Ooh, Ryan Bromwell, you better watch your ass.
You better come correct.
Dude, I do have a new mission for Philly, though. I didn't realize Clues was going to be there. I have a mission now. I got to try and get that dude hammered.
Good luck with that one.
Oh, I know it's going to be tough. But, I mean, you know.
I also like the cube. I love that being able to just take some, I have to use proxies because I'm not going to be able to have a set of power 9 ever, probably.
Right.
But
look, I've said this before. I have my issues with proxies, but if it's their kitchen table magic, I don't have nearly as big of a problem. You know, and that's essentially what cube.
That's what cube.
Yeah.
Proxies are actually better, I think, in cube because the art nowadays on some of these proxies is just insane.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
You can make your cube look boss as hell. Like, I wouldn't
look
worry.
At what the proxy guy does on Twitter. Someone in the contest he hold. Man, that shit's ballin'.
Well, who's the guy, 1866? Angelo, who's that dude? He does some
1866? I don't know what the hell his real name is. I know he's my boy. I mean, he put together my, booze cube card for me and he offered it up to me, without me asking anything. That dude's cool.
He's got sick art too, man.
Yeah. He put together my booze cube card. I love that dude.
That's one thing I actually am thinking about getting ready for Philly is trying to get the booze cube up and get that made.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can do it. Currently, right now, I at some point, I'm going to find out from somebody in the Philly area, whether, it's Ed or I'm going to have just Slick do it. But we're going to get together. We're going to have a big get together with all the fucking posse. But currently, right now, I'm already kind of locked in to do a drink draft with Slick. And I believe KYT is supposed to be there and a few other people. And this seems like a pretty boss, draft for me to get into. So
you go do that. You go do that.
Angelo, you gotta drink Slick under the table, bro.
Dude, if I make day two, I can't. It's just a drink draft. It's not a drunk draft. There's a difference. If he says we're drunk drafting and I haven't made day two, I'm going to drink him under the table.
That's what's up. I see you represent.
See, that is one thing I would love to do with this GP is actually see if I can make day two. That'd be kind of awesome.
Well, I mean, I always, that's the goal is my goal is to 9-0 day one, of course, but is it realistic? Probably not. But you know what? You don't suit up not to win the Super Bowl. I ain't putting the pads on.
Exactly.
I mean, if it doesn't happen, that's fine. I'll have a good time with everybody that is there. But if I do, hey, everyone's going to have a good time watching me do it, right? So
This is true.
It is. So moving to the next part, I think we got to know you pretty well there, Dan. What has been up with you in the last week or so, though? Just last week.
Last week. Well, let's see here. I finally, I have an intern. Okay, so I'm still in school. I do 12 credit hours this semester. I have an internship, which may not at the end of the internship become a job. Really looks like it is. And I also have, I work at a convenience store on the weekend now. So that's what's up with that. I also am a president of a club at school, and I had to run an event for this past yesterday. I had to try to get game systems and stuff all the way down to my school, and then I also went to the GP and just played Magic, just played the hell out of Magic. I did Super Sunday Series. And here's just to give you the rundown of the bombs I opened. Perforos, and I also opened an Afara, and then just a deep white.
Ooh.
What?
Okay. Yeah, all right. Although Afara and Perforos are both on the good side of gods. When in general, the gods aren't as good as most people think they are when it comes to limited. They are on the good side, but that's a three color, mash right there if you're trying to run both.
I did not go three colors.
Okay.
I went white blue at first because that's what I thought my good cards were. And as I was, and really I was just using the sealed to get a little bit more of a field for the format. Mm-hmm. And really I should have been going with red. because in Red I had a little bit more creatures, and that was my main issue. The entire time was I only in any of my colors I could only get a maximum of 13 creatures.
Yeah, with Afara, I mean, if you don't have the creatures to back her up, she's not very good at all. Same thing kind of goes for Purphoros as well.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's a shame. Now, you was telling me the other day about some kid that you wanted to talk about.
Oh yeah. Okay. So actually, that's something I embarrassed. I will say this now. I embarrassed myself at the GP.
Well, that happens to all of us, dude.
Yeah, but I embarrassed myself in front of Luis.
Oh well, that's happened to me. Specifically, okay. That right there is
what. What did you do? Fart?
No. If I had farted, I would have killed him. Because I asked Luis what he knew about the kid. So this kid, he's got some very deep, he has some type of muscle disease, issues where he's, ridden to a wheelchair and has to have assistance even moving the wheelchair.
I think I know exactly who you're talking about. Is that the guy whose mom sits next to him the whole tournament?
Whole tournament. He went 8-1 the first day.
Dude, he's good.
He was good. And I didn't know that. And I felt like a dick afterward. I mean, I felt like I shouldn't have been showing pity at him at all. I should have been giving him much more respect than what I was. And as much as Luis probably didn't see it as embarrassing myself, I felt embarrassed when I talked with him about it because I didn't know about him.
Yeah, I actually know exactly who you're talking about. He's on the GP scene. Like, he shows up to a lot of them, especially in this area. Like, I saw him at Pittsburgh. I know I saw him at SCG Cincinnati the last time I was there for that. I've seen him in Columbus. Like, he's around.
Yeah, apparently he's also very big in the Magic Online. I wish I'd been able to get his name, but I didn't. But his mother and him were very nice people.
Yeah, they are. They're stand-up people.
Is his mom hot?
Nah, she's an old lady.
No, she's an old lady.
But I have had one interaction with him. Like, I haven't played him or anything, but I did in the middle of GP Pittsburgh. I actually walked up to his mother and, you know, it was in between rounds because I could tell she was doing, you know, work for him. And I actually did go up to her and tell her, you know, how nice I thought that was that she was doing this for her son. You know what I mean? Like, it's really cool to take her life away for, you know, a whole weekend possibly. To make sure that her son, you know, who's wheelchair ridden, just gets the chance to, you know, feel normal for a day and just hang out with the guys and do what everybody else is doing. Like, this.
I mean, I watched the game where I'm pretty sure he beat, CBM, Chris Van Meter. The game I got to watch them. That's when I first noticed him and everything was when he beat Chris.
Yeah, I do know who you're talking about with that kid, and yeah, he's pretty good. Beware Pittsburgh area listeners and, you know, Ohio and Indiana and Kentucky. This kid's out there and he's not bad. Don't take him lightly. Like, he can play the game.
There were actually two kids in wheelchairs at this event that I saw. I didn't get to watch the other one too much, but the one that I got to meet and his mother, they were pretty nice people.
Yes, very, very nice, very stand-up people. You could tell she's nice, you know, that they're nice people because just look at what she's doing for her son. You know what I mean? They're obviously good people. Ryan, what the hell you been up to, bro? Did Ryan disappear on my ass? Yes, he did. God damn you, Ryan Brommel.
Make you look like a
wait. Sorry, I'm back. I'm back.
Oh, so, I pity the fool.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're back.
Sorry, still in the kitchen. What's up?
No, what you been up to, man?
Actually, this last week was kind of boring, man. Played a bunch of Magic around the house, Megan. Testing some things out. Work has been really picking up, so it's been a busy week, man. All in all, trying to catch up on some coverage. That's basically it, man. It's been a real boring week. Nothing to note. Let's see. Actually. Friday was no, Saturday was a lot of fun. Went out to the club.
Okay.
Went out to the club, came home with the old lady and probably a plus one. You got the light.
You have one of those devil threesomes. You did. He had one of those, didn't you?
Saturday night was fun.
Whatever, man. You got the life, man. I remember when I was, you know, younger and I could do that type of stuff. God.
And
it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, a pretty boring work week. Dude, the office is under construction and it's pissing me off. They're building, we're redoing the showroom. So we're like redoing, like the sunroom we got, and we're building like an actual, like, what looks like the back of somebody's house inside of our showroom with like a deck and like an awning and shit coming off of it. And just the noise of all this is just, it just drives me crazy, dude. So
I live with that noise every day, man. Hey, if you're not used to it, I can understand it, but like heavy machines.
I'm just trying to get shit done and these fuckers keep making noise and it's just like, fuck, dude. It's just, it's been making work like a little more stressful than it should be. So
you know what? When it's over, it'll probably be better for you.
Yeah.
And it'll look nicer, you know, when you're bringing in clients and you take them around the showroom, it'll be an easier sell because everything looks better. Trust me, in the long run, you'll appreciate it. It's just now it sucks.
Yeah, we got a big home show coming up this weekend, so trying to get it all done by then, so.
Okay.
Yep. So that's about all, man. Yeah. What else been going on?
Well, let's see. In the past week, I have managed to get in one daily sealed every day short of today. I've basically gone 3-1 in like every one of them except for the one I did yesterday where I opened literally like the best pool I've opened since Born of the Gods came out and I went 1-3. Like my deck just shit on me. It was like, no, you're getting one side of your deck and not the other. No, you're getting too much mana. It was just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And the one game that like my deck flowed perfectly, I ran up against the exact same deck with better rares. So it was like, well, I mean, fuck, I can't really beat him. Cause that's usually what it would come down to in that game. Cause literally it was both in red, white, and he had the double striking 2/2.
Yeah.
He had the,
Cerberus.
No, that's a one.
Oh, no, he's talking about Fabled Hero.
Fabled Hero. Yeah. He had a Fabled Hero and an Annex and Simeedy.
Oh, yeah, is that good? Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah,
so you're my creature +1/+1 and trample. I think that's a little good.
But the kick in the nuts was, like, I had the heroic card that deals 2 damage to target creatures, so I was able to deal with them a lot of the time. But I just, Labyrinth Champion or whatever, I had that. I was able to deal with these things a lot of the time, but he took me to 3 games, and that was probably the 3 games that my deck worked best. And his deck was just better than mine. And, you know, sometimes you just got to tip your cap and go, well, fuck it. His deck was better.
Who was on the play the last game?
He was.
Yeah, that's why.
That makes a small difference.
Yeah, it does. I was on the play game 1 and lost, so.
That's a really big difference in this format. This format is just hyper-aggressive.
Well, I mean, not
always.
I mean, like, black-blue is not hyper-aggressive at all. It sits back and laughs at you.
No.
And black-green's not that hyper-aggressive either.
But it loses.
Honestly, if you look at it.
No, it doesn't.
It does, though. This weekend. We saw black-green lose to the fast,
You're talking about
one example. Black-green deck? Yeah.
Talking about VA. We just saw
really missing.
It was one example, though.
Yes, yeah. And
like, if you look at the black-green deck in the, go ahead, Dan. Go ahead. I've had to start too many times. I'm done with it.
with that particular deck, the one thing I saw that he could have had that I really like and he didn't have it in his deck was the two cost 1/1 that let you be able to look at the top 4 cards and choose a land out of it.
The Wayfinder.
Because getting those, Wayfinder. Because, I mean, that really does help that out because it lets you be able to power out your, bigger creatures quicker. Yeah. In the fact that
any of the heroic decks. The heroic decks are just so fast, dude. You gotta be.
In green black, here's the deal, dude. And, you know, this is not asking for a lot and it's actually not that hard to get it in your pool. I've cracked it plenty of times, but all of a sudden you look and you're like, oh, I have a Sedge Scorpion and a Baleful Eidolon. I'm good early game. And then once you get to the late game, you just outclass them. And black still has a bunch of good removal.
Every instance I've seen of that over the past few weeks, the green deck just gets ran over too quick before it can stabilize.
The and green decks that are top heavy, I will give you this, the green decks that are top heavy, you're absolutely correct about. Like, the ones that are just too top heavy, they do kind of fold to it, but it's not an always thing either.
And to be honest, Asphyxiate is really not all that right
it's
now.
It's not that good specifically against that deck.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's, everything taps sideways always, so.
Well, not everything, but yeah, you whatever. again, I'm not having this argument with you anymore. So. No. Okay, so I got to do some of those. And also, what's up, Dan?
Off again and
yes, you disappeared for a little bit.
Yep. I know, I got hungry and ate some gnomes.
Yeah. So but aside from that, like, my work has been ramping up as well. Although today I had to fucking turn wrenches all day, and I'm sorry, like, look, I have so much respect for people who choose to fucking turn wrenches for a living. But working on small engines, I would rather kill myself than do that every day, because I did that today for 8 hours and was just like, fuck, I hate my life. I can't stand this. You know? It's not my thing. I need to be out there. But, you know, with that said, shout outs this week. I want to give a shout out to Daniel Hall for coming on and joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I also need to give a shout out to Buttercup because he's Buttercup. I need to give a shout out to Daniel Beckman, who has confirmed that he is going to be in the, Gonk Suo train to, Philadelphia. He is riding with me to, so he's going. That's cool.
Oh yeah, we need a Beckman cast, man.
Well, you know, dude, look, man, at this point, like, for those who do want to come on the cast, I'm gonna let you know flat out right now, I got 3 spots left. And I'm not even gonna pick them until, fuck, it'll be a couple months probably.
And we're literally throwing a dart.
Yeah, I'm throwing a dart at a board. And if I hit, Beckman's, it's gonna be both of them. If I hit Broderick's, it's going to be both of them. So,
that'd be sick.
This is the promise I'm making, okay? But as far as those last 3 spots go, it could be anybody. Also, I do need to, give a shout out to everybody who has, jumped on the page in the last week, because we have, like, all of us, I think I have confirmed about 8 people in the last day to jump on there. So
yeah, it's really exploded. Do we get everything figured out with a dude that, like, couldn't?
No, I was actually just going to give him a shout out. Alvarado, I'm probably mispronouncing your last name, bro, but for some reason he can't post anything, and, you know, I don't understand why.
When I saw that you put that post on Facebook, the first thing I thought was, oh god, his account got hacked again.
No. It was legit. Like, the dude, he can't post on our page, but he's a part of the group. And he doesn't understand why, and that ain't cool. The only thing I can think of.
Oh, it ain't cool at all.
The only thing I can think of is, and I don't know for sure, you know, like, I haven't even asked him about it, to be honest, but I wonder if maybe somebody has a block on him or something that's already in the group, which is stopping him from being able to post inside of
it. I don't think that would do it. I think that,
that might do it.
Yeah, it might do it, but at the same time, like,
I don't know.
You'd think when I put that up, or, hey, why does, you know, Facebook hate this guy, that the person would, you know, the person would step forward and go, yeah, this is why. And I don't know. I mean, every interaction I've had on him with Twitter, or I've had with him on Twitter, and on Facebook have all been good, so I don't see why anybody would block them. So I don't know. I honestly have no clue what the fuck's going on, and Lord knows I ain't going to be able to figure this out through Facebook. Ryan, shout outs.
I was going to say real quick, if anyone has suggestions, please post them on the page. Help this posse brother out for sure. So
yes.
Shout outs. Yeah, dude, Minute Maid Premium Peach. Fuck, dude, what a good juice, man, with Sobieski vodka. Shout out Sobieski Vodka. You've been great tonight. Yeah, dude, if you're spending a bunch of money on vodka, you're a fucking sucker, dude, when you could get premium shit at a much lower cost. And Sobieski is, I've worked at high end liquor stores, and I've been a taster, and, I know alcohol, and Sobieski scores up in the 90s on like every tasting. And it's pretty cheap. I've harped on it before. Pick that shit up. It's great. Minute Maid Premium Peach. You're awesome. shout out Megan. Shout out Dan Hall. Shout out, of course, to the posse, man. Growing seriously big. Anti-shout out Brad Nelson. Fuck you. You're a pro, act like it. Anti-shout out Jared Betcher. You're a grown-ass dude. Lose the fucking Pokemon hat. Jesus, man. Fucking dork. Anti-shout out to the guy that stole Houston's cards in the mail. Houston over at Tappan Sack had some cards stolen out. They literally like left the envelope and just like took the cards. Fuck that dude. You're an asshole. Yeah. And shout out. I got the contest lined up. So I'll be drawing that name here and then have a winner out, maybe next week or the week after, whatever Angela lets me. So
sounds good. Dan, any shout outs, bro?
Well, gotta shout out Jacob because I messed up earlier this evening.
I know, when you said Andrew Hanks, I'm like, that motherfucker live in Canada, he don't live near you.
Yeah. Canada's not that far from Indiana.
Trust me, I'm a lot like, closer where he is than you are.
Ain't that the truth? Shout out Comic Book World because, I mean, they've been pretty decent people. Everybody there is always just good, willing to help out other places. The new card shop that's opened up called Grinning Goblins. I would like to see some more people go there. Give them a good shout out. Shout out to you guys for letting me on the cast because damn, I was shocked when you guys said that you responded so goddamn quickly when I said, sure, I'll be on.
Well, dude, you've been a part of the posse for a long time, man. Like, a long time, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of precedence. I mean, as far as the dartboard goes, the longer you've been in a posse, the more names you get on it.
Well, it's just like the contest. It's just like the drawing I'm doing. I mean, everyone has a chance, but those of you that have been there for a long time have more odds of winning. Yeah. So.
Yeah, anything else, bro?
Shout out to every podcaster I listen to because damn, that makes my day go shorter.
But none of them are as good as us, so.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say all I'm hearing is crickets.
Because you guys let me get on. You guys let me get on your show.
Like, goddamn, all I'm hearing is crickets. But hey, guys, next week we have, GP Beijing that we're going to go over. We also have the, Mox Championship, which is a mixed format. Beijing is going to be standard and we have SCG in Charlotte. But hey, until next week.
Hey, fuck yes.
Charlotte.
What, Dan?
That's an invitational in Charlotte.
Oh, it is? Then we're not going to go over that. Or wait, no, we are. That's a big one. Yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah, we're definitely going to go over that. So, again, let's try this again, guys. Until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one. Go fuck yourself.